Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis. I wanted to start this morning with the concept of perversion. What does it mean to pervert something? To pervert something is to take it from what it was supposed to be and to pervert it into something else. Satan is the ultimate pervert. If you think about like a list of sins in Galatians 5, where it says the works of the flesh are, I want you to think how many of those things are perversions of something that's good. And this is because Satan is not a creator. He's a perverter. So, for instance, idolatry is a perversion of what? Yeah, recognizing, you know, that there's something greater than us, and where did we come from, and that type of an idea. Jealousy that's condemned as a sin is a perversion of a rightful place of jealousy. Our God is a jealous God. If a man is told by his wife or wife told by her husband, I'm in love with someone else and I'm going to go be with them, how should that wrong spouse feel? Yeah, because you have a right to feel jealous because that's something that rightly belonged, that's someone that rightly belonged to you. When God looks at his people and they're worshiping Baal, he has a right to be jealous. You're my people, why are you doing that? What Satan would like us to do is to take that and pervert that God-given feeling into God capable, he created was the capability for that, to pervert it into a region where it shouldn't be. My neighbor got a new car. I'm jealous. Wrath. There's a place for anger. Ephesians says, be angry and sin not. Jesus was angry when the man with the messed up hand, and Jesus got him there looking to see, is he going to heal him so we can accuse him? And Jesus looked around in anger and then healed man. Anger's not wrong, but perversions to where we get into sin is. Drunkenness. You know what drunkenness is? It's wanting to be in an altered state and make pain go away and feel better. What does Ephesians 5 say? Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit in psalms, hymns, and spiritual singing. How do we feel when we sing and focus on those things of praise to God? Do we feel better? Do we feel elevated? Some people want to get that feeling by this. There's a different way to do that. In sexuality, there is a great deal of perversion. Sexuality was God's idea. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, watch and really think about this. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. You know, we're not like some worm that just replicates by non-male female thing or that just parts come off. There's male and female. He created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. Have children. God made the man. God made the woman. And he made that relationship. And he intended for them to multiply. And of course, you get to Genesis chapter 3 and you see that they had been naked. And then after they've eaten of the tree and knowledge of good and evil, they realize that they're naked and they hide in the bushes. And God said, did you eat of the tree? And they said, the woman, and then, the serpent, and then all of them were cursed, and then God made clothes for them. They had put on something, not very much. They had put on something, the Hebrew word is kind of like a girdle. It says in verse 7 that they sewed fig leaves together and made for them loincloths. So it was something that just went around here. If you've ever seen the paintings where it shows them with one or two fig leaves, no, they sewed fig leaves together and made something around them. But God doesn't say, oh, you've got that covered. Then he puts clothing on them. Now, what I want you to think about, and you get to Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. This is a powerful passage. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 are really important, valuable passages on the concept of adultery. Listen to these words. Verse 3 beginning, the lips of the forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil. She knows what to say. She said it to many other men before. In the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path of Sheol. She doesn't ponder the path of life. Her ways wander. She does not know it. Now, my sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. How many of you know of fellas that have this child out of wedlock, that child out of wedlock, this child out of this relationship, and they're paying, you know, payments here, 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 here? And are those baby mamas all putting that money aside for his orthodontics in college? A lot of that's being used to party with the curve boyfriend, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are consumed. In some age demographics, the sexually active in some younger age demographics, the rate of STDs is getting up close to 50%. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Then he says, and he uses the metaphor of water here, telling the young man, be with your wine. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the street, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Not just rejoice while your wife is a youth. Rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him. He is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for a lack of discipline. Because of his great folly, he is led astray. Here's a great plan that God has. We talked about it the other night from Genesis chapter 2. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And Jesus says, what God joined together, let no man put asunder. There's so much beauty there. There's a love that God intended. There's an intimacy that God intended. There's a joy that God intended. There's pleasure that God intended. And their children that result, that then can be guided by their father and mother to train them and to learn, don't go in these ways, don't go in those ways. We'll talk later today about the importance of taking the time to train those children, how much training they need. Satan would have us pervert all that. There's the perversion of, instead of a man and a woman, a man and a man. And most people realize that's perverted. That's a perversion. Yes, it is. But also, a man with a woman that's not his wife, it's somebody else's wife. That's a perversion. A man with a woman, and then, well, we're not married. We're not going to be married. We're just here for a one-night stand. And then I'll be with this woman, and then that woman, and this woman. That's perversion. And pornography is perversion. let us not be perverts. That's Satan's way. It's not God's way. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus says this. And I will try to be clear today without being needlessly graphic. But we're talking about important things, and we need to understand it. So I'll try to speak respectfully, but clearly. Matthew 5, verse 27. This is in the section where Jesus is saying, the Pharisees have taught in a way that encourages people to break the law. And he's saying, you've got to do better than that. He says here, that's back up around verse 19:20. Now he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And that was said. And don't commit adultery. But Jesus is saying, that's not enough. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's like in the preceding section on murder. The state of New York says, do not murder. The state of New York doesn't say, don't hate him and wish he was dead. God says, do not kill him and do not hate him and wish he was dead. God says, do not commit adultery, and do not look with lustful intent on this woman that commits adultery in his heart. See, this is someone you're not married to. God intended for the man to look with desire upon his wife. That's God's intention. God is not surprised that men find women attractive. That's God's plan. God is not surprised that men and women are attracted to each other. That's God's plan. And he set it up that way. It was one of his very first initiated plans. And they are to be fruitful. He said, when he put them there. It goes on. It talks about here in Matthew chapter 5. And let me say this. Lest anybody get the idea that in the old covenant, it was okay to not commit adultery, but you could lust. What was one of the other Ten Commandments? Do not covet your neighbor's wife. So don't lie with your neighbor's wife, and don't be looking at your neighbor's wife and wishing that you had your neighbor's wife. Same principle here. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away from you. It's better for you to lose one of your members and your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members and your whole body go into hell. Young men in particular, I want you to think about this very strongly, because we are in a culture in which it is expected and the norm that you are to see the nudity of many women. Your friends, your teachers, the advertisers, everybody thinks this is what you're supposed to see. And even though we may know it's wrong, we can get caught up with the idea, well, that's the way it is. You see all these women, you look at these women, and after a while you pick one. That's not God's plan. Look at Leviticus chapter 18. Now, the phrase here is, you shall not uncover the nakedness of. When he says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of, this is unlawful sexual relations. This is implying more than just uncovering the nakedness. It's implying uncovering the nakedness and then physical relations taking place. And that's what's being forbidden. But I want you to notice the connection between the uncovering the nakedness and then the following act. Our society and culture has removed the uncovering the nakedness from the act. The way it's supposed to be is you leave father and mother, you cleave to your wife, and there's going to be the uncovering of the nakedness and the beauty of the person that intends and leads to this relationship. That's how it's supposed to be. You live in a culture where everyone is offering you, from girls that send a message on their cell phone, to magazine covers when you go through the grocery store, to things online, to movies, to TV, to everything. Everyone is offering you the nakedness of many, 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 many women who are not only not your wife, you don't even know them. And you're supposed to be enjoying the nakedness of all these women, but not be with these women. And then it creates a situation where there's a relationship not between a man and a woman in marriage, but a man in the image of women he doesn't know, and then himself. That's not God's plan. That's perverted. And so you have to get your mind around the idea, I shouldn't look at too many of these. This is a perversion. Listen to this language here. Unlawful sexual relations. Verse 6. None of you shall approach any of his close relatives to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, which is the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. In other words, that belongs to him. He's supposed to see that. You're not supposed to see that. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister, your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whoever brought up in the family or another home. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter or of your daughter's daughter. Their nakedness is your own nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter brought up in your family, since she is your sister. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She's your father's relative. You shall not, etc., etc. Verse 14. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. That is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. There's a place and a purpose for that nakedness, and it belongs to their spouse. Don't uncover it. Obviously, they didn't have they didn't have iPods, and they didn't have Playboy magazine. They're talking about the actual person. And of course, if someone was going into their brother's wife to uncover their nakedness, what happens when you uncover the nakedness and look at the beauty of a person that you're attracted to? Then the body desires a relationship with that, and so that's what they were doing, which would have been incest and adultery. But it's not just the sin to do that. This is sin here. And that's what our culture is encouraging you to do and makes accessible to you at every level. And you need to just get this concept in your mind, the perversion that that is. I want to talk for just a minute about indecent clothing. We're talking about more than that, obviously, but let me throw out a few words about indecent clothing. In Genesis 3, it wasn't enough when Adam and Eve just put something around their loins. God put some clothes on them. In Exodus 28:42, it's describing the priest's garment. And this is for men, not women, this is for men. And some of the things were for glory and for beauty, like the head tire was for glory and for beauty. But then it said, put linen breeches on them, from the loins even to the thighs. And that's obviously inclusive, because not including the loins wouldn't do any good. You know, it's inclusive, like when Job boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I don't think that meant top of the head was clear. It meant he was covered up. And the purpose of that in Exodus 28 is to cover the flesh of their nakedness. So this is decoration. You know, it's if I'd walked in here without a tie, nobody would thought, that's pretty indecent. I'm not a big Thai fan, but I wore them, you know, for some respect. But this item of clothing was, it said, to cover the flesh from nakedness. Proverbs 17 talks about the dress of a harlot, of an attire. Verse 52 talks about women to dress modestly. And it talks there particularly about the over-gaudiness of makeup, jewelry, and just all the, you know, some people, they put so much attention on those things. John 21, 7 is interesting. Peter is out in the boat, and he's fishing. They've been fishing all night. It's just men in the boat. He's stripped down, like my Bible, it says, to would have been, in other words, had his undergarment. So if you've ever seen like I forget what it's called, sumo wrestler. You know, they just have something wrapped around him. He would have had something wrapped around him, but he doesn't have on his outer garment. What happens when they see it's the Lord on the shore? Do you realize that's the only passage we have in the Bible about how people got dressed to go swimming or go to the beach? And what did he do? He's leaving the boat here where it's just men. He's going over there in public and where his Lord is, and he what before he jumped in? He put on his coat because he was naked. He would have had on something, but he viewed himself as naked, and then he swam and he got over there. Clothes are an important thing. The purpose of clothes, look at these things here. There we go. What's the purpose of that type of mailer? It's called a security envelope. It's got the blue and stuff in there, so your nosy neighbor or, you know, postman. You know, it's not intended to be ugly. It's just, you know, it's intended to cover up what needs. Now, it shows what needs to show, the address. You need to know who it's going to. You know, if everybody has on, you know, a burqa with the blacked out eyes, you kind of don't know who people are. But what's the purpose of that kind of mailer? You're wanting to advertise what's inside. What's the purpose of that fence? Sorry, my image here is kind of blurred too. Well, that's an attractive privacy fence around a swimming pool. It's not an ugly fence. It's a nice fence. What's the purpose? Keep prying eyes out. What's the purpose of that fence? That's not to keep prying eyes out. That's to look. Yes. Somebody's birthday. You put a nice bow and paper on there. What's the purpose? To cover that up. That doesn't need to be seen yet, what it is. That's a different type of package. And that is the way a lot of people are dressing today. Don't do that. Let's talk about the corrupt. And so, on dress, women and men, think about how you're dressing. And when you're around people, don't assume that because they're showing it, it deserves to be looked at. I have a friend of mine who became very involved in pornography at a young age, was through his teen years, was involved in pornography, got married, and for years was involved in pornography, and finally got serious about his life, and he's talked to other people who've gone through that as well. And one of the things he talks about is the importance of the eye balance. He says, you know, it took him a long time to retrain himself. So there's a he just knows, he just bounced the eyes away. You remember what Job said? I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maiden. I'm going to give you some statistics. Well, that's misspelled. I'm going to give some statistics. That was done late last night. And I intend to raise the alarm here. I want parents to understand how dangerous this is, and I want young people and older people to understand the dangers of pornography. I have, for years now, I've been dealing with young people and a disturbing, continuing challenge to so many young people and so many young men and young women, it turns out, are also being pulled into this. But the ones I work with, generally young men, and troubles with pornography. And I have seen and known of situations and dealt with situations and had friends or people, different things. I told you about the fellow that ended up in the psychiatric ward. There are people who end up in prison, women who end up being strangled and unconscious because someone, this is a case, a husband and a wife who wants to be there for a one-flesh relationship with her husband in a loving relationship, but that's no longer satisfactory to him because he's been watching his pornography, and the pornography gets to these different levels of just creepiness and perversion until he needs more, and so he ends up strangling her, ripping the phone out of the wall and everything so she can't call the police. You know, she's passed out. He ends up in prison, and this happened more than once. People who end up acting out, they see these things, and see, what God intended was when the man and the woman are married and they see and they can be together. But you have somebody watching, and then they want to find somebody to act that out on. And people coming up to other people in their sleep and molesting them or different things. And you just about any serial killer. You can just about guarantee there's been a lot of pornography wrapped up in that person as well. And so you just have this feeding of this insatiable desire, and then it acts out in horribly, horribly perverted ways. Very, very destructive. Some statistics. These are old statistics. I'll show you some more in a minute. These are from several years ago from Family Safe Media. Total search engine requests and downloads. 25% to 35% were at that time estimated to be pornographic. The average age of first internet porn exposure, 11 years old. That's average. Largest users of internet porn, 12 to 17 year olds. Percentage of 15 to 17 year olds with multiple hardcore exposures, 80%. Percentage, you remember Promise Keepers? This was back around the time Promise Keepers was active. These were religious men who in a religious setting were wanting to make, you know, commitments to their wives and children. We're going to be Promise Keepers. We're going to be there for our wives and our children. We're going to be men of honor. And they were asked, how many of you viewed porn in the last week? You see the epidemic? There was an interview with a fellow on Focus on the Family. He had gone to what was supposed to be a denominationally, you know, religious Christian school. And he was thinking about sending his girls there. And they had just done a survey. And they asked, of these men that would choose to go to this religious school, how many of you, you know, view pornography? 100% of the young men said yes. And I believe it was 80% of the young women said yes. It was 60 or 80. I don't remember which. It's just epidemic. And he said that for the young women, the pornography industry has learned, because your college guys, they don't care. I mean, it just, you know, they're like an alley cat. You show them a picture, they'll look at it. They've learned that the girls need a little bit of a storyline. Remember all the girls and moms that got all excited about the Twilight movies and everything? Oh, it's romantic or something. And so they'll put a storyline on the beginning of the pornography and then get to the pornography because they need something to get them interested and then get to it. One of the ways, a young lady that was involved in pornography for years as a viewer was explaining his work with different people. She was explaining how it gets started for children many times. What do most of us do when we want to find out about something now? Google it. So little kids hear a word or a term, and they're wondering what that is. Maybe they have kind of a context that it's something sexual or physical or what, but so what do they do? Mom and dad gave them a computer, it's sitting right there, and so they Google it. Well, when you Google, you can go to the long Wikipedia article and read, or the Britannica article and read, but for a lot of things, what's the easiest thing to find out about it? Images. And so children hear something, they Google it, they go to the pictures, they get intrigued, and then it starts, and then it continues, and then it continues, and then it continues, and then it continues. And then they need more than just that. They need it to be something edgier. And then after a while, they need more than that. They need it to be edgier. And then after a while, they need it more than that. They need it to be edgier. Another case is just advertising. And so you can be looking at something innocent, and here's, you know, a little thing up here. Ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at this. Ooh, you know, wardrobe malfunction, or this, or that, or look at this picture. And somebody in their curiosity, click, click. Here's part of the problem. It's just so easily accessible now, which is why we have to use self-control. There's been pornography around for years. Even back in the time of Christ, there were filthy writings. A lot of the plays in Greece, you know, filthy, vulgar, that type of thing. People like to be, you know, but some years ago, when a lot of parents were being raised, pornography was plentiful, but you had to make a little bit of an effort to see it. You might go to your friend's house and he says, hey, look at these magazines. And you got a choice right there saying no or yeah, I want to look at that. And if you decide you want some more of those magazines, a fellow would have had to go down to the store, you know, wait till nobody was in the store. You know, there's those under a brown paper bag back there and ask for that. Or, you know, have it delivered. And so, that's, so there was a barrier that you had to step across that kept a lot of people from saying, that's pretty perverted. I'm not going to do that. I don't want somebody to see me in the store. That's, no. I'll tell you what it's like. There have always been bank robberies in this country for years, right? What would it be like if you could just go online and go to the bank and nobody would ever know, the money is just replicated and you could just click and there's $20. $50. Or just a click. People who would never, you know, put a gun in their belt and put on a ski mask and go down to the bank and say, give me the money. No, I like... But if it's just click, click, how many people would be robbing the bank? That consciousness, fellas, listen, that consciousness that keeps you from going down to the store or going to the bank, let that consciousness now keep you from doing this. And it's not the first time you need to be careful about a little click. You know what it takes to shoot and kill somebody? A little click. Why don't you do that when you're irritated with somebody? Because you realize the consequences of it. It's deadly. This is too, but it kills you over a longer period of time. The other guy can fall dead right there. This just kills you from the inside over periods of time. So now we have people, married people, who the wife wants to have a relationship and the husband does not because he's got his computer in himself, his right eye and his right hand. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? If your eye offends you, pluck it out, and if your right hand offends you, cut it off. You've got people who, in their marriage, need to be watching other people on a film to be satisfied here, because that's what they've got dependent on. I want you to just think about how perverted that is for a moment. I want you to imagine that this afternoon, your neighbor comes up and knocks on your door. And you answer the door and say, "Oh, hello, how you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, listen, you give me, $8.95, and tonight I'll leave my bedroom windows open, and you can watch." What would you say? "I'm not a pervert. Get off my lawn. What do you think I am?" And he says, Oh, wait. "Tell you what, how about I run a cable from my bedroom into your house?" "I'm still not a pervert." "Hey, what if I have a Hollywood film crew film it?" "Oh, $8.95? What changed?" People being perverted didn't change. That's what's still going on there. 9 out, this is from Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is a program, and they've got an app now available for Apple. You can, if you've had trouble with this, and one thing to do is just get rid of the internet. What did Jesus say? If your hand offends you, cut it off. It would be better for you to go into eternal life without the internet than go to hell with it. If you can get yourself to behave and be responsible to it, but it would be helpful to have a reminder. James 5 talks about confessing your sins one to another. Find somebody that will hold you accountable and you talk to, that you'll be honest with. You can sign up for Covenant Eyes, and it will monitor all the sites that you go to, and then it'll send a report to the person that you've chosen to be your friend. Now realize, if you're not being honest, you can find ways around that. You can go to somebody else's computer. You can, but there's a level of accountability there, just so that if you're a person who wants to be honest, but you start to have a weak moment, if you realize, if I click on that ad, my friend is going to receive, he's going to receive. And so this is Covenant Eyes. It's based on the Job 31 thing. This is some statistics from them. Did you know 9 out of 10 boys were exposed to pornography before the age of 18? Fellas, never, ever think that everybody's doing it. Everybody isn't. One of the worst things you can do is think, "Well, why am I bothering to be clean since everybody's doing it?" Oh, please bother to be clean. A friend of mine took me aside just recently. He's a really good fellow. He's a college-age guy now. Very capable. If somebody would have an excuse to be involved in a lot of corrupt things, he could have had plenty of excuses to be. But he wasn't. And he said something that I appreciated. He said, "I want to thank you." He said, "Years ago," it was in one of the camps down in Alabama. He said, "Years ago, when I was young, I heard you talking about this and talking about where it gets people to be sometimes." And he said, "It scared me. And I decided I don't want to be that guy." And he says, "I've had other problems in my life. I've got other challenges, weaknesses I have to work on. But that has not been one." He said, "Thank you." If you are one of the guys that's blessed to and fortunate, and you've done the right thing, and you haven't gotten involved in this, you are the lucky one. No, it's more than luck. You are the one that's set to receive the blessings of not having had that poison. And when you get ready and you find that girl that you want to love and to care for and respect and enjoy her beauty and bring children into the world that you will both rejoice in, leave and cleave and enjoy the blessings that God has for you without having to worry about that being poisoned by other things. 9 out of 10 boys exposed to pornography before age 18. There's a book, I tried to download this, but I wasn't able to, but you might want to take a look at it. Your Brain on Porn. It decreases sexual satisfaction, lowers one's view of women, desensitizes the viewer to cruelty. Just 6 years ago, global porn revenues were estimated at $20 billion. However, by 2011, global revenues are down 50%. You know why? Because there's so many people putting free porn out now. By the way, if you're using porn that somebody's paid for, realize where you are in that circle. You remember the prostitutes? And who got a lot of the money? The pimp. And the pimp and the prostitute were looking for the Johns, the customers. On the internet, here's the visual prostitutes. Here's the customer. And there's a John, there's a pimp somewhere making money off you. Now, they've skipped that part sometimes, and so there's a lot of free stuff, so that now 89%, does that change how degrading it is? It's dangerous. 66% of porn performers have herpes. 7% have HIV, according to one doctor's estimate. Ex-porn star somebody says men and women in pornography do drugs because they can't deal with the way they're being treated. From top 50 selling adult films, 88% of scenes contained acts of physical aggression. This is all from CovenantEyes.com statistics. Mobile devices. After an analysis of more than 1 million hit to Google's, more than 1 in 5 searches on mobile devices are for pornography. 20% of 16-year-olds, 30% of 17-year-olds have received a sexually explicit text message. It's common now in high school. Guys will send a message to a girl, hey, send me, she's got what she got on her phone, a camera, send me a picture. Pretty common now. More than 7 out of teens hide their online behavior from their parents in some way. Used to, you could say, have the computer in a room where everybody can see it. Well, that's helpful. That's not enough if you're allowing access to it when they're not there and everything. But the fact is, with mobile devices, it's like a friend of mine said, we were discussing this in a parenting class recently, and she said, I can do, you know, shopping for a gift for my mom right in front of her. You know, she does, because, you know, the capability of these can be used for good things, but it's a lot of crud from fathers. Remember what it's like to be a curious 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old. It's dangerous to put something that devastating in front of a 12, 13-year-old, 14-year-old. Porn is destroying families. American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers reports 56% of divorce cases involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. Prolonged exposure to pornography leads to a diminished trust, the belief that promiscuity is a natural state, cynicism about love or the need of affection between sexual partners, the belief that marriage is sexually confining, lack of attraction to family and child raising. Here's some more statistics. 71% hide online behavior from their parents. Here's some things over here. I'm not even going to read them, but you can out loud. But you can see, we're not just talking about just a photo of somebody. There's some really base behavior going on at the same time, and that's what kids are watching. Part of the time, that's what they're watching. Dr. Marin at Layden, I have also seen in my clinical experience that pornography damages the sexual performance of the viewers. Having spent so much time in unnatural sexual experience with paper, celluloid, and cyberspace, they seem to find it difficult to have sex with a real human being. Pornography is raising their expectation, at the same time it's reducing their ability. Does that sound like a very good idea? This is an interesting quote. If you're my age, you'll remember who Raquel Welch is. Raquel Welch was one of the most physically attractive Hollywood stars back in like the 60s and 70s. That's a recent picture of her. Okay, so she's, I guess, in her 70s now. Okay, that's not a bad-looking woman in her 70s. She knows a little bit about being attractive. She was also would have been in movies that would not be appropriate to see. she was interviewed recently, and she's talking about pornography, and I want you to listen to what she says. Raquel Welch, it's just dehumanizing. And I have to honestly say, I think this era of porn is at least partially responsible for it. Where is the anticipation and personalization? It's all prefab now. You do have these images coming at you unannounced and unsolicited. It gets to be so plastic and phony to me. Maybe men respond to that, but is it really better than an experience with a real-life girl that he cares about? It's an exploitation of the poor male's libidos. Poor babies, they can't control themselves. The interviewer says, I cannot dispute any of what you're saying. She says, I just imagine them sitting in front of their computers, completely annihilated. They haven't done anything. They don't have a job. They barely have ambition anymore. It makes for laziness and not a very good sex partner. Do they know how to negotiate something that isn't prefab and injected directly into their brain? Joe Wirtz made a point about TV a few years ago I found really interesting. He said, you know what you don't see on TV? People watching TV. You see car chases, wonders in the emergency room, try to defend, and you see all this exciting stuff happen. But you know what's not very entertaining to watch? And that's us! That's America! So this is somewhat of an exhibitionist starlet. And she's describing, this is just how she sees men. Unfortunately, there's a little bit too much truth in her perception. Fellas, there's a passage in Proverbs that said, the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread. I'm not sure what that means. It could mean a variety of things, and different translations translate it differently. It could mean that you end up wasting all your money on the prostitutes and all you're left with is a loaf of bread. Or it could mean that her price is low. The translations say it reduce her to a loaf of bread. If that's the correct translation, the way that hits me, and maybe I might have the right idea of the original or not, but it still makes a point, is it reduces you to a loaf of bread. Why are those fellas setting up the camera crews and everything to do these shots? Why? Because they care about you as a person? Why is that model? Because she is interested in you and loves you and wants to be one with you forever and ever. No! You're another 50 cents. Or you're another click, or you're another counter soul, or you're another... That's it. That's all you are. Guys, don't degrade yourself. Be men. Be men created by God, and God created you with a desire, and He put a wonderful solution for that. If you choose to be married, get married and love your wife, and be intoxicated in her love. But you can help destroy it by engaging in perversion. Let's finish with some biblical principles. First off, Hebrews 13:4. Let marriage be had in honor among all. Respect marriage. Respect the God who created man and woman, and respect marriage. Have enough respect for it that you wait for it. And then be true to it. And do not think that, well, I have to view pornography now, but after I get married, I won't need to. There's a lot of foolish men that thought after they got married, they would give up their pornography, and they didn't. The guy, my friend that ended up in the psychiatric ward, he said, I got involved in pornography when I was young and single. And of course, after he got married, what did he do? He kept up with it. Understand God's plan. Honor marriage. Honor women. Leviticus 18. Don't uncover her nakedness. You know how many women you need to see nude in your life?
Why? Why? The one that will love you, want to be with you,
look to you as her leader and her protector, bring children into life with you, grow old together with you. Reject the visual prostitutes. Job 31:1, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a maid. 1 Corinthians 6 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, flee fornication. You know what the Greek word for fornication is? Porneo. The same root word is the word pornography. Well, flee pornography. Flee pornography doesn't mean, well, I'll just look at that website for a minute. I'll just take a look at that. Well, maybe I'll look at that woman.
Run away.
What did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife grabbed a hold of him? He didn't say, let's just snuggle. He ran away. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at that with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12, after talking about don't be like them, don't be murmurers, don't engage in sexual immorality, don't be like them. It says, and they were destroyed. Verse 12, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. God is faithful, he will not be tempted above your ability. Will with the temptation provide a way of escape. The way of escape for Joseph was run away. The way of escape for you may be like the young man I talked to earlier this summer. He said, my dad gave me an iPad. I wish he never had. He'd given it to him like about 2 months before for his birthday. I'm going to go back and either just give it back to him or tell him I need it to be fixed so that I can't view anything badly on it. He's going to go talk to his dad and take care of that. Good for him. And if you need to throw it away, throw it away. And you know what? The internet company, if you stop paying them, they will stop sending it. They will. You just call up and say, I'm not going to pay you anymore. They'll take care of cutting off that hand for you. There is a way of escape. James 4. And be a man. I heard about it. One young man, his wife left him. Shouldn't have left him, but she did. But you'll understand why she wanted to leave him after you hear. He married her. He had no ambition, no drive, wasn't trying to better himself, had a nothing job that was going to go nowhere. And he would go and do that and then just come home. And he would, to his mom's house, living in his mom's basement, you know, and he's got a wife and maybe a kid. And he would sit there and he would play a war game till like 3 a.m. and then go to bed. Next day, he'd go to his nothing job, and then he would come home and for hours play his war game until 3 a.m. God, do you have any idea maybe why he wanted to play that war game? Any of you guys here, yes? Why do you think he enjoyed playing that war game?
Made him feel like a man.
Yeah, I think that's right. Made him feel like a man. So you got this real major loser, and he just goes, oh, I'm a man. No, you're not. That's pathetic. Quit pretending to be a man. Don't pretend you're a man because, don't pretend you're a man. Oh, I'm looking at that woman that doesn't even care about me and wouldn't talk to me on the street. Be a man. Be a man of God. Control yourself. Be a man worthy of a woman. Be a man that a good woman will want to put herself in your trust. Prove yourselves worthy of it. James chapter 4. Verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you suppose it is of no purpose, as the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves there to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray to one another that you may be healed. Not everybody needs to know everything everybody has done. But there's times when it's particularly helpful to talk about your sins to another person. If I have sinned against my friend John, I need to confess that to him. I don't, it's none of your business. I need to confess it to John. If I'm struggling with something and I know it's something that Lee has studied or he has conquered or he knows about, I might say, I ask Lee, help me with this because I know that you know about this. And if it's something like this, you might have a friend that you know and you trust and know he's not going to go around talking behind your back or something else, and you know he cares enough about you to help be responsible and say, I want you to help me with this. I want my hands to be clean. I want my heart to be pure. I want this stuff to behind me, and I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to ask me each week what's going on with me. I want you to, if you want to use like that covenant eyes or something, you know, find some, there's value in having somebody that's got your back. Don't rely completely on somebody that's got your back, because you might get to, one of the not helpful things is when you get a bunch of alcoholics who get together and instead of keeping each other sober, well, I got drunk again. Don't feel bad. I did too. Well, for me, it was Tuesday. I got drunk. Well, I'll probably get drunk tomorrow. That's not helpful. And if at 2 in the morning or whatever, if you've got to contact your friend and he's not available, you can't use that excuse. Well, I've had people, you know, say things like, I tried to contact so-and-so, but I couldn't get him. You can use a friend to strengthen you and to be an encouragement, but you can't use him as a crutch, because you've got to obey God. And if his line was busy or he was asleep or he was out of signal, that's not your fault. And then it's your excuse to go do, well, I couldn't help myself because he wouldn't text me. Please. There's a lot of value in that. Confess your sins. You know, you can get some help from somebody. They'll help hold you accountable. That's not a substitute for you understanding that the person you're really accountable before God is God. Let your brothers be assistants. It's just like coming together as saints. That's a real encouragement to us, and it helps us. But you know what? If everybody else walked away from the Lord, your relationship is still with God. It's not, well, Lord, I couldn't serve you because everybody else... No. What did Noah do? Serve God. Lastly, Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. It would be easier to do the right thing if it was always distasteful to do the wrong thing. Right? In other words, we have all sinned. We have all done things that we shouldn't have done. There was something appealing about it. It was appealing to not have to do the thing we should have done, or it was appealing to do the thing we shouldn't have done. Sin can be appealing. The Bible talks about the pleasure of sin for a season. Kids sometimes eat too much candy. I haven't heard of too many kids that just eat too much Brussels sprouts. You know, when you don't like something, but those of you that like Brussels sprouts, that's fine. And they can be tasty. But if we will learn to see the ugliness of sin for what it is, it makes it less attractive. We need to do what we need to do because it's what we need to do. Jesus wasn't looking forward to being spat on, beaten, crucified, and take the sins of the world upon his holy self. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There will be times when there's something unpleasant that has to be done, and we just need to do it because it's the right thing to do. There will be times when there's something pleasant that we need not to do, and we need not to do it because it's the right thing to not do that. But the more often we can see the ugliness of ugly, it just makes it easier. The woman in that picture, is that a woman that you would want to be married to? Is that a woman you would want raising your children? Is that, I wish, you know, they had those Geiger counters, you could see the radioactive stuff. I wish they had those for STDs, you know, the people, you know, walk into the club, you know. You know, there's a lot of nasty out there. Proverbs said, like a gold ring in a pig's nose is a beautiful woman without discretion. You know what? That beautiful exterior is going to look different in a few years. Beauty on the inside can get more and more and more beautiful. Your grandmother, your great-grandmother, there was a time when she was really turning your great-grandfather's head, and it's a wonderful thing if she still is. One of the favorite pictures I've ever seen of a couple, it's Joe's friends in Cincinnati. I can't remember their name. But in the office, there's a picture of one of their grandparents, and it's this old couple sitting on a porch, and he's got on a straw hat, you know, like he might be a farmer, and she's sitting there with him, and she's holding his hand, and she's holding his hand the way a young girl in love holds somebody's hand, and she's smiling at him, and he's just got this, you know, just this happy, contented look on his face, and it's just this wonderful elderly couple in love. You're not going to get that from trashy women in pictures. They wouldn't talk to you if they met you on the street. They don't care about you. They're vile. And it, like it says in Romans 5 and 6 and 7, her slain are many. How ugly is that? Picture yourself the way... You remember the quote from Raquel Welch? I can just see them sitting there at their computers. Is that amazing? See the ugliness of it. See the beautiness of what God created. Aim for that. Thank you.
I think we'll take about 10 minutes.